Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Well, good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. My name is Aaron Varner, and I have the great privilege of being the lead pastor here. If you don't know who I am, I'd love to get to know you. We're super glad that we can worship together. I want to invite our Tennessee ministry trip participants, if you would join me up here. Last week we had our Canada Wilderness trip share. This week we have our Tennessee ministry trip individuals that are coming and sharing. Oh, thanks, Zach. I'm going to move this out of the way. What'd you say, Joanne? It's really bright. I love it when people are up here for the first time on a Sunday morning, because they realize how bright it really is, and why you, anyway, I won't get into what my wife says about me all the time, but that's one of the reasons why, I think, because you just are hot all the time. So, we had the great privilege of going to Tennessee to help friends of ours, Brent and Tammy Lowe. It's a couple pictures up here I want to show. First, this is our full team that went. Everybody's here today except for Katie. Katie's under the weather and she wasn't able to join with us. But this is a great team that we were able to go and minister. Eric was going to go with us, but God had other plans. And Eric was in our first meeting and he was the one who kept us in line. In that first meeting, and from that point, because we didn't have Eric, we were in big trouble. We knew it. So thankfully, God protected us and provided for us. The next picture shows Brent and Tammy Lowe, our missionaries who we support, who are with ABWE. They were in Portugal for a number of years. Brent was actually my youth pastor back in the day. He wasn't much older than me, but just great friends of ours that we've gotten to know, and really mentors for Lisa and I. We just love them greatly. God pulled them from Portugal to be here stateside to work with ABWE missionaries. They do missionary care, caring for missionaries as they come home on furlough. They meet with them. They travel overseas to meet with the different families of missionaries. And one of the things that they're responsible for in their missionary care is the children's ministry at this conference that is put on every other year that ABWE does for their missionaries. So Brent contacted me and said, hey, we really need some help. Would you be able to put together a team of individuals who would help run a children's care for ages 5 through, what was it, 5 through 12? For 3 days. So it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this conference. I said, sure, we'll do that. And so then I started just praying and I put it out to our congregation. And these individuals responded and said, yes, we will do this. And I know there were some others who said, hey, maybe it would work. And just because it didn't work this time doesn't mean that there isn't a next time. And so as you hear them share of our trip, I hope it will be an encouragement to you, and understand that sometimes ministry trips, we think of missions trips that we have to go overseas or we have to go far away. The truth is, we don't really have to go far away, and it can be instrumental in helping just taking those who are in ministry and ministering to them. And we had a great week of being able to do that. And so I think, Joanne, I'll have you start, right? You're starting?
Sure.
And we'll just go that way, and then we'll come back this way, all right?
There's a thing about order here.
You want a table?
Yes, I want a table.
I don't need the table. I'm Joanne.
Okay.
It's fine. All right. So when I heard the trip announced, obviously, I love children's ministry, and Andy looked at me, and he was like, you want to go, don't you? And I was like, Yeah. But my summer was packed. I was going to Portugal. I was doing some other things, running day camps and some other things. And I was like, there's no way. I cannot add one more thing to my summer. And then my son, Zach, was like, hey, Mom, we should go to Tennessee. And I was like, oh, if your kid's asking you to go, you should probably go. So we really prayed about it, and I'm so glad that I said yes. And it was really just such a great trip. This team was amazing to work with. We shared so many laughs and so many good conversations, just in the car rides down while we were there. I was able to work with Lisa. We did the Imagination Station and Crafts Center, and it was just really fun. It was fun to see these kids do these little sticky crafts, and they just thought it was the best thing in the world. And these kids just bonded so quickly with each other. It was just amazing to see. A lot of these kids didn't know each other, and they just instantly were able to bond. So it was fun to share with Tammy. Again, I served with her in Portugal, so it was fun to serve with her here stateside as well. And she brought up one girl to me early in the week, and she said, hey, I really want you to invest in this girl. This girl, her family had been given like a 2-week notice that they were being pulled from the country that she basically grew up in. She was born there and grew up there, and they were being pulled instantly, and you could see it. This girl was like a shell. She didn't know what life looked like back here in the States. She didn't know what was going to happen. They were actually leaving the ministry because they just didn't know what God had for them. And you could just see it. This girl was probably 11 or 12. She was one of the older ones. And she just looked so sad at the beginning of the week. And it was really fun to just kind of see her open up with these other kids and with our team as the week progressed, and just see her really be filled with God and see that God had a plan for her. And our Bible school theme really kind of, I think, worked into her life. So that was really encouraging just to see how God provided. So as a mom, it was really fun to just be there with Zach. It was really fun to see him grow and mature and serve in missions. We have a couple parents on the trip, so that was really a fun thing for us to do. So thank you for praying for all of us, and continue to pray for Brent and Tammy as they serve the missionaries.
We should have gone the other way. Hi, I'm Zach Flaker, and yeah, she's my mom, and like she said, I asked her to go on the missionary trip because, unlike her, I had nothing going on in my summer. And I thought, yeah, that sounds kind of fun. Let's do that. So I didn't really know what to expect going into it. I was like, yeah, it'll just be like VBS back here. And it was very different because we were in a much smaller space and the whole setting was completely different than here. And so it was very fun. My role was to help Seth with the Bible adventures and just be a crew leader there and help kids get to their next station okay and basically keep them in line. Oh yeah, I did music. And I danced in an eagle suit. That was interesting. But one way that I, yeah, that's me. That's me. But one way that I saw God provide on this trip was, before the trip started, I prayed to God. I asked him, like, God, just give me, like, one kid that I can just pour into and, like, just be a good influence on. And, like, the second day there, I think, is when it happened. I made a new friend. His name's Noel. I forget. What, do you remember his last name?
No.
Okay. His name was Noel. That's all I remember. But we became friends because I drilled him in the face with a dodgeball twice. But I went up to him, I apologized to him, and he said, it's okay, and he gave me a big old hug. I said, oh. So, yeah, he was just an amazing kid. His family were missionaries to Togo, and they were going back after the conference. So he was an amazing kid, and it was fun, just amazing to pour into his life. And, yeah. Eric, I think if you would have been there, I think PA wouldn't have eaten all those pastries.
That's true.
You knew I had to bring it up.
Hi, I'm Susan, and the main role that I had on this trip was to do the same thing basically that I do for VBS, which if you don't know, is I usually lead the opening and the closing, along with a couple of other people though. Emily and Andrew have helped me out for the last few years, and that's always been a big comfort. So like in the beginning we do songs, and then there's all kinds of, there's Bible verses to share with the kids, and just Bible truths to share. And we do all kinds of fun things. And then in the end, in the closing for VBS, I normally have like experiments or just fun visual things to show them to remind them of what we were talking about, which was trusting Jesus. But so I was, that was my main role that I did. And then Anna was on the trip.
I helped with the cruise. No. I helped with the cruise, like the younger kids, and then I also helped with the music and stuff. So, yeah.
Yes. So it was really cool to share that with my daughter. If you don't know, this is my daughter. It's my oldest. And her first missions experience. She's fresh into youth group, and she was like, I want to go. That sounds really cool. So we're like, okay, yeah, you're in youth group. Let's go. Even though the oldest kids at the missions conference were 12, and she's 12, and there was an Anna that was 12, but she was awesome. It was really cool to see her just grow and, you know, get through the hard stuff, because when we're here at VBS, we go home, we get refreshed, even though we're still tired, you know, we get to do our normal things, we're in our normal, you know, our homes and all of that. But when we're on this trip, you know, everybody's tired. We're in a different place. We're with all these people all the time. You know, if you've ever been on a missions trip, you know that it's like, okay, you got to get used to everybody, like all the time, not just your family. So, but it was really cool to share that experience with her. But just going back with my experience with the leading, I was very, very anxious about the fact that I normally get 20 minutes to start and 20 minutes for the closing. And Pastor Aaron said, you have 20 minutes to do everything. So I was like, okay, I don't know how that's going to go. I had to cut out all the extras and just try to get the most important stuff. And it ended up going really awesome. It was, I don't know why I was afraid of anything, because it was really cool. I felt at peace doing it. I felt confident doing it. And I actually felt like I was even allowed, or I was able to have a little bit more fun. And then one of the coolest things for me was, because we had a smaller group of people, I was needed after my opening part to kind of fill in with the crews too. And I don't normally get to do that. Normally for VBS, we're so busy trying to get ready for the next thing that I don't really get to connect with the kids on a one-on-one personal level. I'm just get to talk to them like this. So that was a huge blessing for me, because I got to know a lot of kids, and it was just really cool. It was really neat, and I got to sit with them and talk with them, and that was awesome. So it was really cool.
Do you want to share more?
No.
Okay. I am Seth, and on the Tennessee trip, I had the opportunity, the privilege to lead Bible Adventure. Sometimes I had Zach. Other times he was busy. Being a crew leader. So I got to just tell some Bible stories to the missionary kids and have some fun with that. So that was really cool. Our first story was John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. Then we ended with the tongues of fire. So a lot of good, really cool stories. I would say I have two ways that I saw God provide. Number one was flexibility. Like, we just had to be flexible. Like, we got there and we were told, hey, you're actually not allowed to use this room. We're like, okay, that's not good. But then we got to use the room, so it was nice. And then with Bible Adventure, we got it all set up and we did like the first lesson, and then Pastor Aaron walks over, says, hey, we're gonna move you. I'm like, all right. So we tore it down, set it back up, and it was fine. It worked out. So Pastor Aaron was very wise with that decision. And then another thing, just really cool opportunities to make memories with people that I might not get to in our typical church setting. Like, One thing that stands out every morning, I feel like Ray and Ellen and I shared breakfast together. We don't get to do that every day. So that was really cool. And winning putt-putt with Susan, we tied for first. Pastor Aaron did not win. We went twice. He did not win any of them. So that was really cool as well. But yeah, I don't know. There was just so many stories. Like, I can just go down the line, and sharing a room with Zach Varner was fun. It was interesting. It was fun. He slept a lot. Like, a lot. Which was good. He needed it. He was right back from Skyview, so he was tired. So yeah, I don't know. He was preparing me for when my son is a teenager, maybe. So that was cool. One, like, major takeaway, I think, was just, like, you know, we hear in God's word that everyone has a unique gift, and, you know, God provides those things. And that's true, and we know that it's true, but I feel like on this trip, we really got to see that. Like, all of these people had a role. All of these people had a unique gift. It's just cool when you get to see it, like, right in front of your eyes. With such a small room, you can't miss it. So that was really cool. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. Hello. My name is Aaron, part two, because I won't take part one. That's that guy over there. The role I had on this trip was I was one of the co-leaders for Game Time. So that was pretty cool. Katie and I kind of co-led that together. Real quick, I just want to say a big thank you to Ray and Ellen for putting up with Katie and I during the car ride down and back up to Ohio. If you don't know, Katie and I have that friendship, like a brother and sister, like kind of like that kind of friendship and stuff. So we were bickering and arguing, and it was fun. They put up with us, so thanks, guys. So a couple ways I saw the Lord provide was through flexibility, like Seth said. So we were given about 20 minutes for game time, and I think it was like halfway through the trip, PA was like, hey, we're going to move Cheryl into your room and do snacks at the same time. Okay, that threw a little bit of a curveball, but we were able to, you know, do our games and then give them over to Cheryl and give them a nice snack or something. It was tasty. I got two popsicles one day, and one of the kids yelled at me for it. So another way I saw the Lord provide was I slept horribly during the trip. I cannot do well sleeping away from my own bed, and I was just exhausted. Like, I had to download a sleeping app on my phone halfway through the trip. It was horrible. And so the Lord provided by just giving me a clear mind and giving me the comfort of rest the last, like, night. And that was good, but I'm, like, a little late on the timing. Like, I wish I could have had to sleep sooner, but, you know, it was good. But, yeah, it was a great trip. I'm glad I got to go on this trip with everyone. And, yeah, thank you for your prayers.
Hi, I'm Cheryl, and here for VBS, I'm known as the snack lady, and down there, I was known as the snack lady, which to me didn't feel like a lot, but those kids were thankful for everything, and like Aaron said, the one little kid, when you saw how, I mean, he got two, how little they get by with sometimes because of where they live, and one popsicle was a big deal. But on top of that, how thankful they were for everything that we did for them, anything that we gave them, and how encouraging they were. I felt a little spiritually dry when we got down there, and watching these kids play, I don't remember, it had something to do with protect the president. And this little girl was not letting her little brother get killed. She lasted longer than any of the boys that were out there watching them play the, I don't know, it was a rock, paper, scissors game and an obstacle course at the same time. I'm sure it had a name. But those kids didn't care if they won or they lost. They cheered whoever won on. And just how loving they were towards each other, and how, like Joanne mentioned, they bonded almost instantaneously. But it didn't matter who won, just so long as they were having fun together and they were learning about Jesus and they were doing all those crazy dances that we do here at Awana. And I do the stuff that I can stay 2 feet for. That's it. But they had a great time. And then we ran into one family at Bucky's on the way home. And it was like the kids finally put together that we came there for them, because why are you all at Bucky's now? Like, well, we're going home. And in their mind, we were just part of the church that they were in, not that we came for them. And see these two little kids just, you came for us? And how thankful they were. And that blessed my heart in a way I can't even describe.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm the other Zach. That's the other Zach. So I went to Canada, as you guys probably heard last week. But before any of this, I didn't know I was working at Skyview till a week before the summer started. So that was a challenge in and of itself. But then I soon realized that I would have to miss 2 weeks of Skyview with Canada and Tennessee, and I was already so exhausted after Skyview, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through another week of crazy kids, because when I got there, I was like, Dad, Pastor Aaron, told me that I had, I think, 12 or 13 kids, they were older, all by myself. I had to be the crew leader. So I was a little excited, but at the same time, as you heard from Seth, I was very sleep deprived, so my one prayer going into it was just that I would have the time and just to be able to rest, but also to pour into their hearts. And I was able to do that, which I'm very thankful for. And I was also able to see everybody else. I think me and Dad were the only two people to go in Canada, so it was way different than that. But just to see other people just use their skills and abilities that God gave them, just to pour into the kids' hearts. And like Cheryl said, just for them to be so thankful, and like the joy on their face when you just gave them a high five or a fist bump, just like that, or VBS songs. That was one of their highlights. Like just for the simple things, that it really showed me much change.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I was super excited about this trip because I love Bible school and I love kids, but there's a lot of different aspects to this. One of them was when we have Bible school here, we already know, because we've done it so long here now, we know what's going to happen where and how it's going to happen. And this trip, like many have said already, we had an idea of what we were going to be going into, and we tried to bring stuff to prepare, but still that first night getting there and trying to settle and figure out how in the world it was all going to look was a little overwhelming for many of us. But it was awesome to see everybody just step up and help and do what they could to help make it work for the better of God's word and God's word to be shared. So I think that was a real encouragement to me. Like many have said, the flexibility of a group. Also, the body of Christ, once again, like Ray was running the videos and Ellen was doing her sticky scripture, and Cheryl's the snack lady and Susan's the song person, and you know, and Joanne and I doing the imagination station together. I don't think we've ever worked together, but we're both teachers and we both love kids, and we worked very well together because we're very like-minded in that way. And so it's just so cool to see how God placed every single person for every single role. The joy of the kids was a huge thrill, because to be honest, sometimes here at our Bible school, I get highly annoyed with the kids who just sit and won't do anything. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? We just did all this for you. Get up and sing the songs. And these kids right away, they walked right in. They didn't care what was going on or who was doing it. They were in it, doing it, having fun. And so that brought joy to my heart, too. It was such a sweet thing to do, to be a part of. So really enjoyed it. Once again, I'll go along with Susan and Joanne. It's always fun to watch your own children serve the Lord. And that's probably been one of the biggest blessings in my life in this last year, is to watch my own kids want to serve the Lord. So those are my takeaways.
Hi, I'm Ellen, and I have to tell you the God moment this started for us. I heard the announcement, I think it was in December, that you made the first announcement, and I said, I want to do that. I wonder what Ray's going to say when I tell him, I want to be gone for a week. And I was out in the lobby, and he walked out in the lobby, and he said, what do you think about Tennessee? I said, I think God says we're going. So that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Ray and I taught sticky scriptures. And one of the blessings of this trip is we have excellent VBS curriculum. Sticky scriptures not only explains the Bible verse, but it gives examples. It teaches kids how to apply the Bible verse to their lives. And that's just a lot of fun. Just lost my notes. How did we see God provide? First of all, boy, to be assigned to one room, and know there are a couple different, I don't want to say circuses, but there are different acts going on in the same room, and each act has its own noise, its own words. And I'm going, wow, you know what? I've always had my own classroom, let alone, I'm really going to have to tone down my voice and really hunker down and get their attention with a quiet voice. Well, wow, God provided. We weren't allowed to use the next room, but then, yeah, we were allowed to use the next room and even the room, small room after that. And so God's provision was absolutely wonderful. God provided, Pastor Aaron brought a special speaker so that my video that I show could use the speaker instead of blaring out of huge room speakers. And God provided a trash can so I could put the speaker in the trash can to direct the sound to my kids rather than other places. What did God teach me? We're blessed to be able to use this VBS curriculum. It's well done. God also taught me so many gifts and talents in this group and so much helpfulness. You know, I'm trying to reach to put something up, and Aaron would walk past and put it up for me. Or, you see, it was just everybody helped. Yes, we all had our own jobs, but everybody helped everybody, and that's so encouraging and so exciting. Another really exciting thing was the kids. They participated. They were happy. As people said, it didn't matter who won. They encouraged each other. And that's not necessarily what I've seen in lots of years of public school teaching. It shows the difference God makes in people's lives. So that was fun and encouraging.
I'm Ray. I've just got a couple of thoughts to add to things. when we were preparing and on our way down, you may think this odd, but I was able to go with no expectations. Years of doing things have taught me that I can plan and anticipate, but I have no idea what God's going to do. And so I try and not limit myself to give God room to work in and through me. So I can honestly say I went with no expectations other than knowing that we needed to be flexible. Theme, right? Flexible. My favorite part was I got to play DJ at the start of the day and at the end of the day when the kids were arriving and when they were being picked up by their parents. That was the best part for me because that was free play with the songs. And the first couple of times through. I was just running the songs, seeing how the kids were reacting to all the different songs. And you realize which ones really resonate with them. And so by the end, Wednesday afternoon, there were three songs in particular that were definitely going to be in the final playlist. And at the end, so we had a morning and an afternoon session. And as the afternoon session was starting, I rolled with one of those songs. And there was one little girl who was late arriving. And so she missed most of the singing leading into the start of the program. And she was almost in tears, realizing that she missed Church Clap. Those of you who don't know Church Clap, go on the internet, look it up. You probably won't like it, but that's okay. So we made sure and ended with Church Clap. And all of these kids from all over the world, that song was probably the biggest resonating piece of music that we had there with all of them. It was incredible. But again, seeing all these kids just kind of coming together, and my big takeaway was we were able to provide the space, the opportunity, the atmosphere for all of that to happen for them. That's what I was hoping for, and that's what I saw.
Thank you. Thanks for being willing to stand up here and share. Each of you, I know, again, it's not a comfort thing for many of you. You're not comfortable getting up in front, and yet you shared so well. And I just want to publicly brag on this group because they were flexible, because they were required to adjust so much that was thrown on them. And yet, when we heard back, when Brent and Tammy, who they're going to hear the good and the bad, right? Because everything goes through Brent and Tammy. As Brent and Tammy shared with me later, multiple parents had just said how much it was a comfort for them as parents and how exciting it was that their kids were excited. They weren't dreading, but they couldn't wait to get to our time with them. And I don't know if there's a higher praise of that the kids actually want to come. And again, these are missionary kids. They get dragged around a lot to a lot of places that they probably don't want to go, and yet they couldn't wait to come and spend time with us, which was awesome. And we just loved it. And this group, thank you, thank you, thank you for being willing to give of your time, your energy, your resources to come and to share and to be flexible and to serve one another and to serve each other. And I think that's one of the great things that we walk away from. We learn from the kids. We especially learn that it doesn't matter who wins, Seth, in miniature golf, right? Like, it's okay if I lost, right? Like, how many times? Yes, my wife wants you to know that she beat me twice as well. So I always focus on ministry, not miniature golf, okay? Needless to say, it was just a great time, and I wanted to stay awake on my way down. That's why all those pastries were so wonderful, Zach, right? So it's neat to see God's provision. And I hope that as you hear this, you each, as we serve, we're part of this body. We're part of the body of Christ. And when we listen to the voice of God and when we obey him, he shows up and he does amazing things, things that we can't even begin to think about or we can't even dream about. But yet God does it. And it just takes one step at a time. It takes one willingness to say, okay, Lord, is this what you desire from me? And when he says yes, that you're willing to take that step of obedience, and to follow him and trust him. And then we get to reap the rewards of that, the blessings of honoring him, of obeying him, of following him. So there's a lot more that I wish I could say There is one thing I want to talk about, and I'm looking for him. There he is. They just switch seats all the time. Bernie Risch. Bernie didn't go on this trip, but Bernie went on this trip because the week before this trip, we borrowed a trailer. It's in the picture of our group. We borrowed a trailer from Camp Patmos, and that trailer had sat on the island for a couple of years and needed quite a bit of work. John had told me, hey, you could use this trailer if you want. And I'm like, great, we need it to take our stuff. Little did I realize how much work it needed, and God just provided it in amazing ways. And one of those ways was Bernie helped me all throughout that week, and we rewired that whole trailer during that week. God used Katie and a contact that she had down in Maslin, and they squeezed our trailer in and got the wheels and the hubs and the brakes and everything redone on that because it just sat on Kelly's Island for the last really 3 or 4 years without being used very much. And so all of that needed to be looked at, looked over, and when it was looked over, much of that needed to replace, and God provided. God provided because I called, I think there were 7 different trailer places that I called that couldn't get us in until the beginning of August. This trip was in July. Well, it doesn't help to get it looked at after our trip. And so traveling down to Tennessee from Ohio, I wanted to make sure this trailer was set and ready. And so Bernie, thank you for your time and your ministry to our team. It was wonderful having that trailer, having the ability to put all of our stuff in there and take our VBS on the road. It was such a huge blessing. So those are just little ways that hopefully it encourages your heart that you've seen, that you hear that God worked, and we're grateful for that. So let me pray for this group, and then I'm going to have a pastoral prayer. I want to share with you a couple thoughts with me, but let's pray and thank the Lord for this time with this group and for those missionaries and their children. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this team that was willing to give of their time and energy, of their resources, of all of their life to kind of put on pause to go and minister on this Sunday through Thursday trip down to Tennessee. And Lord, while it was unique and it had its challenges, Lord, you were faithful. You were faithful in giving us exactly what we needed before, during, and even after the trip. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to encourage the missionaries and the children that were a part of the conference, that they would take the things that they heard, even this day, that it would encourage their hearts, encourage their minds, that these children would love you and walk with you all the days of their life. Lord, that you will continue to rise them up, Lord, to be followers of Jesus and to do great things for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for allowing our team to be a little bit a part of their lives. Thank you for Brent and Tammy, and Lord, to be able to come alongside of them, to minister to them, to encourage them by serving alongside of them. And so, Lord, we pray for Brent and Tammy that you'd encourage their hearts this morning as they continue to minister and to care for missionaries, Lord, across the globe. May you give them wisdom and strength and understanding. And Lord, thank you for the great opportunity that you've given us to partner with them. Lord, we thank you for this body of Christ here at West Hill. Thank you for how you're working in us and how you continue to use us for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. As you know, it would be, I think, unwise of me as a pastor to not spend some time in prayer for our nation and for our country. As you walk through what has happened this week, this is not a political statement. And so if you take this as political, shame on you, because that's not what this is. We see evil in our world today. That's nothing new. We see the acts done as possibly new to us. And yet, from the moment that God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve decided to turn away from God and to do their own selfish desires to pursue Him, sin has been a part of this world. Sin will continue to be a part of this world until Jesus returns and sets up his throne and ultimately, after a 1,000-year reign, defeats Satan, and sin forever will be abolished. We look forward to that day. But that day, while it may be later today, isn't in this moment. And it wasn't earlier this week. What we need, from my perspective, is for us, the church, to continue to live as the light of Jesus. And so I encourage you, would you bow with me as we pray? Because this is a spiritual matter. This is not political. This has nothing to do with a Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative. What this has to do and what we continue to see in our world is a spiritual battle. There's a battle between God and Satan for the hearts and the lives of people. And when we look at our world through those lenses, it changes how we see life and how we respond. And so would you bow and pray with me now? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And we thank you for being Creator and Lord of all things. Lord, you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. He is the very image of who you are. And we know that by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones and dominions, rulers and authorities. All things were created through Jesus and for him. He is before all things. And in Jesus all things hold together. Thank you, Jesus, that you hold our world together. Thank you, Jesus, that you allow us to have a relationship with you. It's through your blood that we can have a close and personal relationship, one that pleases you. And so in this very moment, we pause to examine our own lives and to seek your forgiveness. To seek your forgiveness for the things that we have done and the things that we have not done, that we should have done, that have not pleased you. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would awaken our families, our church, our community, and our country to ways of love and peace. Help us to find ways to show grace, even in areas where we differ or disagree. Help us to find healing in our divisions through Jesus Christ. Lord, we see this great divide in our country, and we desperately need you, the Lord who sustains it all, to come and help us. There's a lot of hate, revenge, division. Yet, Lord, you've given your church, us as we've gathered here today, the opportunity to live out grace and peace and loving and healing. This morning, Lord, we pray for the Kirk family. We pray for peace and comfort and a forgiving heart. Lord, we also pray for others who continue to work through loss and sorrow, injustice and pain. May our church, West Hill Baptist Church, and the church across the globe shine our light, showing Jesus through each area of our life. May we hold your word as truth, living it and embracing it. Help us not to be conformed to the world, to the culture around us, to respond like the world does. Help us to yield to your word, to to obey and trust you as Lord, conforming our very lives, our thinking, our living, our acting to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for relationships. And may we see the joys of utilizing each relationship that you've given us for your glory and for your honor. As we get ready to lift up our voices, as we sing to you, Lord, we're reminded that you are our firm foundation. Lord, as we sing, may you be pleased, as we give you our hearts, as we're reminded in our minds of the greatness and the bigness and the awesomeness of who you are, we pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts and our minds. May you be glorified this day as we continue to seek you and to claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks, worship team. Thank you for making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Isn't it great to worship together? I don't know, there's just something about being able to sing and to worship together that just encourages my heart, and I pray that it's encouragement to you as you sang through those words. If you have your Bible and you're willing and able to turn with me, we're going to look quickly at Ephesians chapter 5. Looking at the end of chapter 5 and start of chapter 6, we see the need of looking and examining our real relationships. As you're turning there, we're going to walk through Ephesians 5, 22 through chapter 6 and verse 9. I'm going to have you stand in just a moment because I gave you last week off, but I'm going to have you stand this week as I read through that, and I have about the same amount of time as I did last week. I know there are some of you who would say, Pastor Aaron, would you just get up and preach? I believe that I am not the only mouthpiece to be used by God, and I hope that you see that and know that. While I protect this pulpit and what comes out of this pulpit and the preaching and the teaching of the word, I believe it can be just as powerful to hear the testimony of God's people when they're walking obediently with him. And so I want to walk quickly through this passage. And again, I will hear the amens of a short sermon, which is great. If you are interested, because I have not known exactly how long, because I didn't want to script how long our people were going to share both last week and this week. If you're interested in having a more behind-the-scenes view of my notes, I would be glad to share those with you. Just get in touch with me, and I'll share you my notes with you from last week, which I had a lot of good ones last week, and then I have some from this week that I know I'm not going to be able to share with you. But if you want to go deeper, it's there, and if I can be a tool to help you, I want to do that. By the way, Miss Katie, even though she wasn't able to be with us, she was on our trip. She did text me real quick, and she's watching from home from being sick, and she just said what a great blessing it was to be a part of that group, and she says good morning and hello to each of you. Let's read this passage. If you would, stand with me. If you're willing and able, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and chapter 6 through 9. So if you would, follow with me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is wrong. Zach just said amen if you didn't hear that. I used to say that way all the time to my kids. I just wanted to get your attention. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, that there is no partiality with him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. One of the things that I want you to take away, if you don't take away anything else, here is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He's built this whole three chapters, and he has built the foundation upon salvation. What salvation is, in the great grace and mercy of God that he would save us through his son Jesus. And based upon that, this is how we are to walk. Then he continues, and we walked through that, literally walking through those passages, seeing how we are to walk. Now Paul gets to a point where he is going to talk about relationships, and these relationships are the oldest and most important institutes that God created. Think about it. When God created and instituted marriage, who made marriage? God did. Here's Paul reminding us what that relationship should look like. When God put together the family, when Adam and Eve had children, when he said, go and be fruitful and multiply across the world. We see here this institute of family and the importance of children and their parents. Real relationships. Tell them I'll get there in a little bit. I'm almost done. Work. Work is not something new. Work was in the garden. Work is very good. It's not wrong to work. Our problem is, again, we live in a sinful and fallen world, and we labor and toil because of the effects of sin. And yet here, something that was in Genesis, we see Paul reminding us about these real relationships of how it looks when we work, workers and bosses. All relationships that we see here in the church is to be by walking in the Spirit. We see this in verse 18 of chapter 5, that we're to give thanks always for everything, and that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What's interesting, when we start this passage in verse 22, wives to your husbands. Actually, that's the way the Greek is written. This word submit is not in the Greek. And some of you are like, yes, hallelujah, I knew I didn't have to do that. No, the reason why it's not is because of the verse in front of it. So you have to look at verse 21 and understand that what Paul is saying refers to the church and every single person submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's Christ that drives us. It's Christ that controls our relationships. And so when it comes to wives submitting, it is what is required of each one of us as we follow Christ. I don't have time to go through each one of these of marriage and wives. I do find it interesting, again, as we walk through this, we see two times that Paul will quote the Old Testament. For us to understand the New Testament, we need to know the Old Testament. The Old Testament is applicable to our lives. I hope you know that. I hope you believe that. Here's what I want you to take away today. And then we're going to sing one last song because I want to sing it. Three things. Relationships matter. In a world that continues to try to isolate and isolate and isolate, we can get wrapped up into that. I would love to go build a cabin in the mountains of Colorado and be away from people. My wife says it will kill me because I'm such a people person. But there are times that I want to be away from people. And yet, we need to look at it, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, what we see in Scripture here is that relationships matter. They matter to God, and they should matter to you. When you look at these three areas of relationships, marriage, husbands, wives, family, children, parents, work, worker or bosses, which one are you struggling with? Which of these three are you working through that you're struggling with, that you need God's help? And then to follow on that, how can you live more like Jesus in that relationship, in these relationships? How can you show Jesus more in these three foundational relationships? Back in October, I preached a message about, yes, politics. And when I talked about that, I talked about these relationships, these foundational institutions that God created. And Paul is reminding us here how we live them. How are you doing in those three areas of your life? I'm going to close in prayer here. And as I do, I just want to encourage you, because I see God working in great ways. I see God working in you and through you. God's doing some amazing things. And so let me encourage you to keep faithful. Stay faithful. Continue to use the relationships that God has laid in front of you. I heard on the radio that next Sunday is invite a friend to church Sunday. And so I encourage you to do that. The good news is I won't be here. You're like, what? The good news is Pastor David will be preaching. And he'll have a full length of time to preach on the armor of God. I have the great privilege of going and traveling to Guatemala with Craig Peters and Equip Ministries. And so we'll be down. Craig and I will be in Guatemala serving and training other pastors, so they can go and continue to minister and teach their flock that God has called them to. I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I ask that you would pray for Craig and I, pray for our travels, as we'll travel next Sunday morning, and then we'll arrive, and then we'll start our training Monday through Thursday. And so, as I shared, Pastor David will be preaching next week. He's going to have a great sermon. I know he's been working on it, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I encourage you, again, continue to be faithful and invite somebody to come with you. Again, we live in a dark and lost world. It's amazing the statistics of how many people would come to church if they were invited. So invite somebody to come to church. And I beg you, examine your relationships. What do these relationships look like in your life? And how can you improve by showing Jesus in a real and better way? Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we have the great privilege of living for you. Thank you that relationships matter to you, and help us to make relationships matter to us. Help us to live faithful and committed lives, consistent lives. While we are imperfect people, Lord, we get to live in such a way that shows your perfection And we get to show the realness of followers of Jesus when we fail and mess up by quickly coming and asking for forgiveness of those who we've wronged. So help us in the areas of our pride and our arrogance, the demands of us being wanting to be right all the time. Lord, may your Spirit convict us and challenge us and encourage us. Help us to continue to honor you, the name that is above every other name, the Savior who came to give his life for us. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who hasn't given their life to Jesus, that they today would give Jesus their heart, their mind, all of who they are, that they would believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, and that they would ask for the forgiveness of their sin and claim Jesus to be their Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us hope. Lord, we lift up your name, the beautiful name of Jesus, because we want to honor you. We want to glorify you because you are the reason why we live. May that be true. May that be a true statement, more true than it's ever been before. Lord, we know we need your help, so help us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.